Well, the Fulbright Memorandum says basically that there's little need to alert the American people to the dangers of the Cold War. In other words, the dangers of communism. We think that that is a terrible mistake to make any such statement. We think it is important to alert the American people to the aims and the designs of the communists, to the dangers of the communists, to the insidious manner in which communism operates. Now, this memorandum went further and made a number of recommendations. Did you want to go into those at this time or not?
Yes, please, Senator.
Well, this memorandum recommended to repeal or modify the 1950 directive authorizing seminars. This is a very important directive, and this was a directive that gave the authority to the military to sponsor these seminars or to assist with those seminars to alert the American people, reserve officers, editors, leaders, and civilians of all strata as to the dangers of communism. This memorandum recommended to end connection with the Richardson Institute and other facilities of that kind of foundations. Now, these foundations have been financing the cost of these seminars. They have been providing the funds to pay speakers, and they've been very helpful. And we don't think this connection should be ended. And another recommendation was to increase military censorship. There's been entirely too much military censorship. It's been existing for a number of years. It's been stepped up under this administration. This memorandum would increase it further. We think it should be ended. Another recommendation is to take away the military control of the National War College and put it under civilians. Now, what do civilians know about running a war college? It's my judgment the military ought to have control of the National War College and that it should remain under the military.
Well, Senator Thurmond, let me interrupt at this point to make this point that you are speaking in this instance as one who has some direct knowledge of the situation, since you do hold the rank of Major General in the United States Army Reserve. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. I'm a Major General in the Army Reserve. I'm also a civilian and a United States Senator, and I think I can see the viewpoint of both. And in my judgment, it's highly important for the military people to have control of the National War College. And it's also important for them to control the troop training. This memorandum recommends to take out from under the military and turn over to the civilians the control of unit-level training, information, and education programs. Again, I say, this is a function of the military. Civilians are not well acquainted with this field. The military, who have attended ROTC colleges, have attended the Military Academy, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, men who are trained along military lines. They are supposed to be experts in training troops. They are supposed to be experts in knowing the enemy. And we think this field of training troops should remain under the military. And then, the last recommendation, there were six of these recommendations, is that in order to get promoted, it's recommended that officers be required to pursue a liberal arts course in some college. Now, I guess he's speaking of either Oxford or Harvard. But at any rate, why should they be required to go to these colleges and forced to pursue some left-wing course under some left-wing long-haired professor? Now, it's my judgment that the teachers at West Point and the Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy are much sounder than these professors in these so-called liberal arts colleges like Harvard and Oxford.
Congressman Alford, both as a member of Congress and as a practicing physician of some years standing, how do you view this Fulbright memorandum and the recommendations which it makes?
There are obvious, very dangerous implications involved throughout the memorandum. I've had opportunity on the floor of the House to call attention to some of these. One of the most notable examples, of course, was the censorship of General Walker in his efforts to indoctrinate his troops in the 24th Infantry Division in Germany as to the enemy we face today. Senator has already very ably mentioned the idea of civilian control of the military. I would like to point out at this time that there is no evidence anywhere to be seen that the civilians have not had ample control of the military, if that is to be a question of controversy. There are some glaring examples. One of them is the recall of General MacArthur from the Korean shall we say, debacle, at which time the general was proceeding like any general we would want to in leading American forces to win the war. And it was obvious that for the first time in the history of this great republic that we desired not to win a war. So number one, General MacArthur was recalled by a civilian order. Number two, the troops were ordered into Little Rock in a violation of the Constitution of the United States against all precedent that's ever been in constitutional law as well as the history of America. These orders were by civilians. And we can see examples everywhere across the land today of the effect that it's having on stifling military men, particularly officers, in their fight against communism. For example, I read a press release the other day where it was definitely stated from the Defense Department that these orders of so-called muzzling of the military would not apply to a member of the National Guard or a member of the reserve unless he was called into active duty. But the moment he's called into active duty in the defense of his country and is going to be looking the cannon in the mouth, as it were, Senator, then he can no longer speak out against the enemy. He can die fighting the enemy, but he mustn't say a word against the enemy. What a paradox this is, and what a tragedy in the history of America.
Well, perhaps the most glaring example, gentlemen, of this muzzling of the military was in the recall of Major General Edwin A. Walker, who since has submitted his resignation from the United States Army. I'd like to quote briefly from this resignation statement, if I might. I'd like to just make this quotation from General Walker's resignation. He says, "We are at war. We are infiltrated. We are losing that war every day. Are our hands tied, yours and mine? We need a substitute for defeat. If it is not within the power of this Congress to provide it, then the people of these United States are not truly represented." And Congressman Alford, since you represent the district in which Little Rock is located, I'm sure that you're familiar with the fact that General Walker in 1957 was designated to command the military occupation of Little Rock, something that a lot of us were very surprised to learn because it's been a very well-hidden secret in the people who control the military here in Washington was the fact that this was against the wishes of General Walker. In fact, in his statement of resignation, he said, "In 1957, I was detailed by higher authority to engage in such an operation. As commander of the Arkansas Military District, I was ordered to receive and command federal troops in what has come to be known as Operation Little Rock. Federal troops were used contrary to my personal wishes." Then he goes on to say, "I submitted my resignation from the United States Army on August 4th, 1959. And he continues to report, "My request was denied by order of the Secretary of the Army." Do you see anything in that that you'd like to comment on, Congressman Alford?
Yes, since he was denied his wishes there as commanding general of the military of the Arkansas Military District at that time, that is now a matter of record, as you have indicated. But then after he found that that was impossible, he also sought to stop the troop movement of the crack paratroop division with bayonets, etc., in such a debacle as the Little Rock, whole Little Rock operation. Instead, he said, "If you must send federal troops into Little Rock, why not let it be military police?" But still, they would not pay attention to that. Those in authority, I mean by they, I do not like to use that word. But here we have the whole story that we now face today. The thing I would like to have Senator Thurmond's comment on this. One of the things that disturbs me and many members on the House side is the present policy of appeasement on down the line, and the present policy of destroying, as it were, the Constitution of the United States. It seems today that if anyone is patriotic, if they speak out on behalf of God and behalf of country, that you're supposed to be some kind of a radical somewhere. And I think this is a dangerous trend in the country, Senator, when we have approached this state of affairs, that anyone who speaks out against the enemy and pleads for patriotism is considered an extremist.
Well, I hardly agree with you. There have been some speeches made here in the last 10 days that have tended to criticize those to the right for being super patriots. I just wish we had more super patriots in these United States. We need more patriotism today. We need more people who love our flag and who love this country, who love the principles and ideals for which it stands. We need more people who love our philosophy of government, which has given us the highest standard of living the world has ever known, which has given our people the highest per capita income, more automobiles and more televisions and more radios and more conveniences than any nation in the world. Yes, we need more patriotism.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to break in now because our time is all up. Thank you very much for being with us. On today's edition of Citizens Council Forum, our guests have been Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina, Congressman Dale Alford of Arkansas. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying coast to coast, thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.